Kirk, how's fatherhood treating you? You got a chance to dad pretty hard there over the week, it seemed like.
Yeah, it's going well. It's been about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks now, and the bye week came at a nice time to get settled and get our feet underneath us as parents before we get back into the flow of the season. So, you know, today's the first day my wife's on her own taking care of the baby without any help, so we're figuring it out as we go.
Kirk, almost as soon as Kyle Shanahan was hired here, you were linked to him and the 49ers. Just hoping you could talk about your relationship with the Shanahans, Kyle specifically, you know, whether you've kept in touch since he left Washington, that sort of thing.
Well, Mike took a chance on me in the fourth round back in 2012. And as Mike told me, you know, when I arrived, and it was kind of a unique decision for me to come to Washington with them having drafted Robert with the number two overall pick. But Mike said, don't be mad at me. I was the one who picked you. And, you know, that's the truth of it, is that, you know, he believed in me, you know, back when I was falling in the draft and was looking for someone to believe in me. So I was with him for two seasons, and unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out with them here, but just respect a lot, respect their coaching acumen, you know, wish them all the best.
When you came in 2012, what did they tell you the plan was for you, considering that they had just, you know, used the number two overall draft pick on someone else?
Well, I think at the time they felt like their quarterback room needed some depth, and there was value in getting a quarterback later in the draft anyways, regardless of who it was. And then I think their plan was, you know, it would be great if we could develop you such that you could play really well in preseason games and maybe in spot duty here and there during the season, and then have a chance to trade you in a few years for some draft picks. And that would be a great you know, way for everybody to win. So I think that was kind of the goal initially. And in this league, things rarely go as planned. You got to be ready to adjust on the fly.
Kirk, was the system so complex that you needed a couple years, you think, to kind of absorb it all?
I just think it's not any one system. I just think it's the entire process of being an NFL quarterback, everything from defensive recognition, coverage understanding, protections, blitzes, all that comes with being an NFL quarterback. It comes at you quickly, and it's brand new, and there's such a small margin for error, and there's so little talent difference between teams that a mistake here or there can be very costly on a team season. And when the ball's in your hands as the quarterback, those mistakes are magnified. So I just think, you know, it takes time to perfect your craft just like it does in any other profession.
Kirk, Reuben Foster has played just 11 snaps in the regular season as a pro, but, you know, looking back at the preseason tape and those 11 snaps, what jumps out to you about his play?
Oh, we're very impressed with his ability. He just flashes on tape. He looks like a player that will diagnose quickly, play fast, he'll strike you. Just seems to be the total package at linebacker, and a player with a lot of potential and a bright future. So, you know, we expect him to be a handful on Sunday.
Kirk, going back to Kirk, the offense, how much has the offense changed, you know, with the you know, going from Mike Shanahan to Jay Gruden?
Yeah, I think there's a few philosophical differences. A lot of our terminology has stayed pretty consistent. And, you know, we still do a lot of the things that we did with Mike Shanahan as the head coach. But, you know, I just think there's a couple different emphases in the drop back game or in the run game that are just more subtle differences. To the untrained eye, might not look much different, but just, you know, a couple different runs, a couple different drop back plays. But for the most part, you know, there's a lot of carryover and a lot of similarity, and back when Jay was with the Bengals and Mike was the head coach here in Washington, if you looked around the league and said, what's another offense that really is very similar to our offense, I would have told you that the Cincinnati Bengals were one that had a lot of carryover. So there's always been more similarities and differences.
Kirk, what do you like playing? What do you like about playing for the Redskins and Jay Gruden?
You know, there's a lot of positives. First of all, you know, we've been here now 5 seasons, going through our sixth season. So there's a familiarity there that's very important. And I think in this league, continuity helps lead to success. And you know, when you look at quarterbacks around the league, a lot of the ones who have been really good year in and year out, it's because they've been with the same team or been with the same coaching staff, and they've been able to have that continuity. And so that's a real positive for me here in Washington. You know, my wife loves it here. You know, I've got great teammates. There's a lot of talent, good protection on the offensive line, a lot of skill position players. And we feel like we've been building something the last couple of years, and there's been some good continuity within the organization such that we feel like we can keep taking steps forward. And, you know, that's an exciting thing to be a part of.
Forgive your current tests already, Kyle, but what kind of distinguished him as apart from some of the other offensive coaches you've had? Mm-hmm. Like, what's kind of his style or his niche when working with quarterbacks?
What's Kyle's difference?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Kyle always, you know, when I was with him, you know, the emphasis was with Robert Griffin, and so I was always really impressed with what Kyle was able to do, kind of creating an offense to help Robert be successful and do what he had done well prior to coming to Washington, and with the zone read and then marrying the zone read with our play action passes. And, you know, Robert was rookie of the year that year, my rookie year, and was a Pro Bowler, and so I thought the play calling and the play design, you know, was very creative, and it was really innovative and a great way to help a rookie quarterback, you know, transition into the NFL with so much being thrown at him. And I thought that was what was most impressive about what Kyle did, was the way he handled that first year in what was an evolving system. And then, you know, Kyle's always been really good with play action passes, with movements, keepers. You know, he really just tries to stay one step ahead and have a really good plan. And he's a guy who doesn't just, you know, call plays to call plays. He doesn't just spin a Rolodex and pull a play out. He designs those plays for a reason, and you know, he really thinks it through. And when he calls the plays during the game, it's very intentional, and there's a philosophy behind it. And I think his results speak for himself. But you know, it's good because in Washington, we're much the same way. You know, I saw it done well with Kyle, but then when Jay and Sean McVay showed up, I got to see it done well again. And so that's been good for me to be around, you know, a lot of good play callers.
Kirk, forgive me if you've been asked this already, but is it a distraction when people keep asking you if you're leaving after this year?
Well, people haven't really kept asking me. I think those questions kind of died down a while back. So, you know, I'm fine talking about it again, but no, I'm not really getting that question a lot. So it's been business as usual, and that's what we said all off season was, you know, that question comes up in the off season when you're not, you know, playing or have a game on the horizon, and there's all kinds of things that can be discussed and asked. But once we got into the flow of the regular season, you know, we're focused on Sunday, and those questions die down. And that's the way it was, you know, the year before. I was on a 1-year contract last year too, and so this is not our first rodeo. And you know, we know how to focus on the job at hand, and there's so many players in this league, and specifically on our team, who are on 1-year contracts. If you were to go through the list, you'd see that you know, there are so many players who we don't know where we're going to be next year, and that's just the way this league works.
Kirk, kind of following up on that, is it important to you this coming off season to maybe put that to an end, to try to finally get something done? I realize it's been kind of out of your control to this point, but would you like to get something done long term, regardless of where it is?
I mean, right now, I have so much to do between now and that point, and the key is to play football really well between now and then, so that when we get to that point, you know, I'll have options and there'll be teams that'll be interested. But you know, if I don't do my part between now and then, it won't matter. So, you know, my focus has to be right now on the 49ers, and then go week to week from there. And And if I do my part, then, you know, I'll be in a good position this winter to hopefully have some options. But until we get there, I feel like it's silly to, you know, try to think ahead when there's so much between now and then that will determine where I'm sitting at that point.
Kurt, can you talk a little bit about Vernon Davis and what he brings to your offense?
Oh, man, he's been a difference maker. First of all, he's a great person, great teammate, positive person, doesn't complain. He's not high maintenance. He's just a team first guy and still has the juice. I mean, he's still very athletic, still has elite speed, blocks well in the run game. And I just don't see a lot of weaknesses there. I feel like with Jordan Reed as another tight end, it gives defenses a challenge to have to worry about both of them. And then if Jordan is out with an injury, which happens from time to time, it's been great to have a reliable tight end where there isn't a major drop off to the next guy because Vernon's so talented and so experienced. And I think you've been able to see these first few weeks that it's not like he has 10 catches or is our number one target, but at the same time, he does show up quite a bit and makes a lot of plays for us in the past game, and he's been a key addition to our team over the last couple of seasons.
Kirk, I know you said that the focus has to be on this week and in this season. I think the Niners in a rebuild, 0-5. You know, fans at least are certainly looking to next year, and they want you to be the quarterback. There's a lot that's going to happen between now and then, but has the thought of joining Kyle crossed your mind, and is it intriguing?
I think, you know, you said the answer right there, that there's just so much to do between now and then, and this league is so challenging, and so, you know, it's about right now, and it's about doing all I can right now to, you know, hopefully be in a position where, you know, Washington won't let me leave or doesn't want me to leave because I've done my job, and so that's where my focus lies, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, I've learned in this league through the ups and downs that I've had in my career that you just got to stay focused on the next game, the next day, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may down the road.
You talked about continuity, and there are examples of guys like Brady and Rodgers and Eli and Matt Ryan. I mean, would in an ideal world, would you want that to be your story, to stay with one team?
I think it's always preferred to be able to, have that continuity. And, it goes hand in hand because those guys who have stayed with one team have also played at a very, very high level that has given them that opportunity. So it's kind of self-fulfilling, if you will, that, hey, when you play really well, you don't leave. And when you don't leave, it helps you play really well. But, I think that's you know, why I'm focused on this next game as opposed to getting ahead of myself, because I know, hey, if I do my job week in and week out the rest of this season and my focus is where it needs to be in that regard, when the season ends, I can hold my head high and feel good about my future. But certainly don't want to be in a position where I'm going into the off season and feel like I didn't do my part and didn't play at the level that I needed to. So I'll let my focus be where it needs to be right now and trust that if I do that, you know, good things will happen going forward.
I know.
Kirk, have you reached out to Kyle at all, like to maybe give him encouragement through an 0-5 start?
You know, I haven't talked to him, but, I think when you look at it, and I'm sure you guys have studied it from every angle, they're like a couple plays away from being 4-1. And we know it as players in this league because we've lived it where we've been in a tough spot and lost a few games, and you realize how close you are to having a much different feel to the season. So, they come in here, you know, and we're fully aware that this could be a 4-1 football team that everyone's saying is well on their way to the playoffs. And so doesn't make any difference to us in that game. If anything, they're coming with even more vengeance, you know, knowing that they need to win this one. So, we see a very good football team. And I think Kyle knows that. Kyle knows they're close and knows that the results could be a lot different if the couple plays go their way. So when it's that close and the margin for error is that small, I don't think you have a whole lot of reason to be down. I think you have a whole lot of reason to be excited for the future and see that, you know, there's a lot of potential and those breaks will start to fall your way and, you know, good things happen.
When you analyze the 49ers defense, when you look at them on film, what kind of jumps out at you?
I just see a lot of talented players that have been drafted high for a reason and they're playing in what is a new scheme this year, but they're playing in it well. And, I just look at the D-line as explosive athletes, guys who push the pocket and get after the quarterback, the way they hit Carson Palmer, I watched him get after him and really make him uncomfortable all day long. And when you look at the back end, you see a couple first-round picks at safety and, you know, talented linebackers who fly around. You know, Navarro Bowman is one of the best players I ever played in college football when we played in the Big Ten together. And, you know, Reuben Foster, as we talked about earlier, is just a really talented linebacker with a lot of promise. So I just see big-time player after big-time player who, you know, they may be young or they may be, you know, gelling together, but, you know, there's a lot of potential there, a lot of talent.
I know he probably practices on I know he probably practices on an entirely different part of the field, but is Jim Tomsula somebody that you notice, his energy, such an animated guy? Do you pick up on that when you guys are at practice?
I do. Players love him, and he has a great demeanor about him, not only on the practice field, but just throughout the day in the building and in meetings. I think guys play hard for him. They do what he says. They trust him to help them be successful. And I think he's just good for our team, for our chemistry, for our locker room, for morale. I think it was a great hire by Coach Gruden, a great addition to our organization, and we're thrilled to have him.
Kirk, when the 49ers traded up late in the third round to take C.J. Beathard, Kyle Shanahan kind of referenced you and your development. Would you give him any advice from what you learned during that time where you were pretty much on the sideline about how he can continue to grow and when he's given that chance be able to capitalize on it?
Yeah, I think your mindset as a backup quarterback, and this wouldn't be any new news to CJ because he's been through it in college as well, but to just play in such a way that coaches go back to watch the film of practice or preseason games and say, man, you know, he may not be quite ready yet or it may not be the time to put him in there, but we cannot wait for that chance because the stuff he's putting on tape in practice or in preseason games or on the scout team is special and cannot wait to give him that opportunity down the road. So that was kind of always my goal going out to practice, was to make plays in a way that gets the coaches excited and gives them reason to think that there's a lot of potential and a future. And you know, I think from what I've gathered in the preseason and whatnot, that CJ's been able to do that, and hopefully, you know, it works out for him.
Before you got on, Kirk, your coach referred to you as a young quarterback. I think you turn 30 next year. I mean, do you consider yourself a young quarterback who's still sort of learning, developing in this league?
Well, probably somewhere in between. You know, I don't know. I think everybody defines it their own way, so I'd have to know what the barometer is for what's young and what's experienced. But you know, I'm in my sixth season in the league, but at the same time, you know, I've only started for 2.5 seasons now. And, you know, I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm on my journey and trying to become a guy who, you know, goes to the playoffs year in and year out, wins playoff games year in and year out. And, you know, we haven't been able to win a playoff game yet. And so I think that's where some of the, you know, the term youth may come from, because, you know, you want to be a guy who is in there every year, winning playoff games, in the conversation. So that's the journey we're on, and certainly have a chance this year if we can, you know, get the job done week in and week out.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.